This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, contrast in styles today. Nothing like the Matt Cotrillo, Neil Coulong daily double.
And back-to-back this week.
I know, because he's at 1:35 today, Eastern time. He has to interview the Danville coach or something, right?
That is correct. They are going to be at Susquehanna on Saturday for the Danville's state quarterfinal with Bermudian Springs.
So are you going to be there?
I will be there.
Really? So this is the game you picked out.
It's the only one I have left.
Well, what do you know about Bermudian Springs? Obviously, they must be good to get to this point.
It's their first district title since 1997, I believe. They beat Trinity, which I think is kind of a surprise Trinity got that far because, what happened this summer, Jordan Hill and Michael Mowdy went up to join the Penn State staff, and their Penn State recruit transferred to Harrisburg. So that's a good job by Trinity to get back to the district final. But
yes, I'm well aware of all that part.
I knew you would be.
Guys all the time.
But Bermudian Springs looks like it's a wing T team. I'm actually talking to the coach tomorrow morning. His name is John Livelsberger. Looks like he's been there for a little bit since 2020, I believe. Should be a good one. I don't know much about them. I was in contact with the guy at the York paper to exchange information. So hopefully I know a little more tomorrow when I talk to the coach.
Yeah.
A little Google research is on the agenda for tonight as well.
All right. So let's... this is under the category of a topic we don't usually get into, because there is no way in heck I would have even if I weren't working on the road or whatever at the time, there's no way in heck I would have picked up the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. I mean, do we call it a fight? Is that what it was?
I might be more agreeable to exhibition, but I think they went with fight.
Sure. Well, listen to some of the numbers on this. The numbers, people watched. Now, let's start with this. There are going to be some people out there that had Netflix to begin with, right? And they said, hey, I still have it, and they watched it. Got it. There are going to be others that added it on to see the fight. Which, by the way, they'll now keep to watch the NFL on Christmas Day, right? So I'm going to tie the two together. The gate. Listen, do you know what the gate was? They were at AT&T Stadium in Arlington. 72,300. That brought in more than $18.1 million. Amazing. And, I mean, that's double the highest ever gate outside of Las Vegas. And Netflix says they had 60 million watching. Now, I would like to point out that those 60 million watching, there's a good chance that the vast majority of them are going to keep it for Christmas Day When the Steelers play the Chiefs, then Beyonce will perform. Well, I guess Beyonce's going to perform at halftime of Houston and Baltimore.
Correct.
Down in Houston. Right?
Yeah.
In back-to-back games. If they got $60 million for this, how many could they get to watch that?
And we'll get a truer number, I think, out of the football, because I read yesterday that they're going to let Nielsen do the numbers for it.
Okay.
Because, you know, right now, you know as well as I do, all those numbers that are being released for Paul and Tyson are from Netflix.
Right. They're from Netflix. And not only that, you know, they may be just going, I don't know if they can tell how many people are actually watching or not out of the 60 million. Who knows? But if they got 60, I mean, because Christmas, and if I'm wrong about this, please, everybody tell me your family may do things differently. Most people I know, Christmas Eve's a big thing. You know, you kind of get the noon on Christmas Eve. Now you're transitioning into, for people of faith, they'll a lot of times go to Christmas Eve services in one form or another, whether it's an afternoon or maybe an early evening, or some people go to midnight, whatever. And then they'll get up on Christmas Day, and, you know, a lot of people, they, now everybody has different traditions. Some may open at night, but a lot of people I know open in the morning. Let's face it, with kids, they can't wait. Like, come on, let's go. Well, you get to about noon or 1 o'clock, and that's decompression time. Now, there may be some, like, food being prepared for a big Christmas meal. I do understand that. But for a lot of people, it's decompression time. And that's why the NBA has done what they've done with Christmas Day over the years. And they've been successful with it. And the NFL's about to hit a bonanza with this, I think. By the way, Netflix stock rose 2.8% following the fight to $847.05 a share yesterday. Suit's brilliant. He bought them at $5.
It is interesting because those Paul fights have been gradually going down in their in interest and buy and pay per view buys and things like this.
They should.
I know.
I don't know what we're doing.
I'm wondering if it's Tyson. If Tyson's still a draw at 58, and well, I think whatever happened on Friday night might have killed that. But
well, let me put it to you this way: Tyson, at the age of 58, I think was the equivalent of the train hitting the bus in The Fugitive. You can't take your eyes off it.
No.
You're like, okay, come on. Here it comes. Boom.
It is amazing just from some of the social media stuff I saw on Friday night before the fight. It's just, there was a lot of people that thought, you know,
The Tyson had a shot.
The Tyson that fought Spinks in 1988 was walking through the door.
I can tell you, in certain terms, I had zero interest in it. Now, I was on the road in Lafayette, so I can tell you right now that there weren't any Netflix in the hotel. And it wasn't like something I woke up the next day and thought to myself, hey, let's check out the result of that. Just turned out I went to check. I think I actually went online to check, because I went to bed at halftime of the Washington UCLA game. So I wanted to check and see if Washington had hung on and won, which they did, 31-19. Well, then of course one of the headlines was, I misread the headline at first, because the headline was about Tyson. I go, oh, Tyson beat him. And then I read it. It was like kind of like more like Tyson survived. What was it? 8 rounds?
Yeah.
There were 8 2-minute rounds, right? They were not even 3-minute rounds.
No, and I think it was very clear when it, from at least some of the stuff I read, that people that watched it, that there was an agreement that they weren't going to try and hurt each other, because Tyson was at the MMA fights on Saturday night, the next night, and there's no way in a normal boxing match, I don't think, a 58-year-old guy's making it out the next night halfway across the country.
Yeah. Well, I have no words for it. It makes... I don't know.
I think I agree with your P.T. Barnum thing yesterday. Nobody's ever gone broke underestimating the, I don't want to say stupidity, but I guess I will, of the American public.
Well, it's not that. I mean, people want to be entertained. They want to be entertained. They desire to be entertained. That's why you've heard me, how many times have you heard me say just in the past, it's been a year now, right? You've been on?
Yeah, almost.
Okay. But how often have you heard me say, it's okay to have fun?
A lot.
Yeah, because it is. Right? You know? Every time you turn around, somebody's trying to lecture you about something. Right? And I sit there and go, look, it's okay to have fun. I'm, you know? I have no use for those people. I don't need to be lectured. It's okay. Right? I've been able to get this far without you. So far, so good. And it's okay to have fun, and people just want to have fun. So for people out there, there was a curiosity to it. They wanted to have fun, so they watched it. I have no problem with that. Now, it's not something that I thought was intriguing in the way, no way, shape, or form. I mean, I could have been home on a Friday night, and I would have watched exactly the same thing I would have watched as if being on the road. I would have watched probably the Washington-UCLA game, because for me, that was more fun. But, you know, hey, 72,000 people wanted to watch it. They showed up. 60 million were on Netflix. They wanted to watch it. Great. No, everybody has their own taste and what they think is fun. I think that's great.
I had the laugh last night. I was on desk, and obviously the Cowboys were home last night, and I felt bad for the poor AP writer, because Skylar Dixon had to sit through Paul and Tyson on Friday night, and I think the follow I ran on Saturday was sent at 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern, and then he had to go to that freaking Cowboys Monday night game last night.
Yeah,
that's a tough weekend.
Well, you went from boxing second ever no hitter to football's no hitter.
No.
It's like, hey.
And now stuff's falling out of the sky at Jerry World.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When they I don't know if they were opening or closing the roof last night. Something fell out of it and fell on the ground.
No. Can't have that.
No.
Wow, that's
No, they did talk a little bit, maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock, about there might be a delay or something, but they felt pretty confident that they could play, and nothing happened during play. Obviously, you'd have heard about that.
Oh no, that would have been a gigantic story. I mean, that's a $1.3 billion stadium, probably is worth about $2 billion now. That stadium has everything in it.
Except a football team currently.
Oh, that's just such a knock. It's the kind of thing I would expect Matt to say.
Oh. I'm no Cowboys fan, don't worry.
Oh, no, believe me, I know you're not. Right? That's right. America's team. Most of America doesn't like you. Let's start with that. Most of America is not on board. Wow. Let's get some credit to a guy named Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN. And we mentioned this yesterday about the trade. This trade that they have, where they get inside the NBA, which is going to be produced by Turner, be done out of Atlanta, but they get to do it. I mean, after one, you got to give ESPN credit. It's been one incredible foul ball after another on the air. Right. This guy does eventually get things right for them. Monday Night Football kind of was going along, going along, going along, and then he just says, the heck with this. Let's just get Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. Instant, like, we're better. Right? Same thing with inside the NBA. After just a mishmash for years, we're better. And he gives up, I don't know, 15 Big 12 games and like 15 Big 12 basketball games to TNT.
I think it's 13 football and 15 basketball.
Well, guess 10 of the 13 games for football were going to be on ESPN Plus. It's a win for the fans. Right? It's a win for the fans.
Yeah, and, you know, he's I think it was somebody at the Athletic made the point that forever that they tried to make, you know, everybody come to Bristol and Bristol be a thing, and he's kind of gone away with it, and it's gotten them kind of, you know, Pat McAfee inside the NBA, Joe Buck.
Yeah. No, he knew that just being on ESPN was not enough. It's not enough. That he needed to enhance it with top grade talent. They've gone out and got top grade talent. And this trade they made. That was incredible. And so, you know, you got Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet, you got Barkley, you got the Manning cast, you've got Aikman, you've got Nick Saban, you've got Jason Kelsey, you've got McAfee, you got Joe Buck. You know, I mean, they've gone out and they've, you know, I mean, Belichick's a part of what they do now. I mean, in terms of name recognition, they've got name recognition.
You know,
to go with the brand.
And you touched on it a little bit yesterday. Any relationship that TNT can develop with them probably puts them first in line to get more playoff games.
Well, that's exactly right, because they're going to get two this year. Should the playoff expand to 14 or maybe even 16, they could get two more out of it because of the existing relationship. And ESPN would rather, I think, go in that direction than go in the Fox direction, because Fox is more of a direct competitor. And, yeah, I mean, they could end up with, if they go to a 16-team playoff, just say it happens within the next, just pick a number for years, TNT would be probably the first option for them to sublease. Yeah, smart.
And the way they do things, it'll be on three different channels, too.
Well, yeah, you know what? It would be. And I think that's great. It would be on three different channels. Yeah.
Everybody gets to make the NCAA, will be able to make the NCAA tournament joke of, oh, is that where True TV's at?
That's what I always say every year. Every year. I say, well, this will be the first time in 50 weeks I've watched something on True TV. Yes. It's still there. But it's worth it if it's a game you want to watch. It's fine with me. I'm like, hey, I'm glad it's there as an option. All right. We need to take a break. Who's running this show, eh? Come on.
Nobody. That's probably part of the problem.
It's part of the charm of it. Nobody knows what's going on here. Nobody. Right? You and I are going to let some nut rant for 20 minutes coming up. I mean, we can take odds as to whether, you know, like either one of us are actually going to be there listening to it.
Yeah. That's for the listener to try and figure out.
Yes, there's a mystery to it. Do Todd and Steve leave when Matt begins to rant? Just thought I'd mention it. Here on News Radio 1070 WKK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best new inventory. Love the purchase I made. They took great care. Not only that, I was able to get not only great financing, but also the kind of bumper-to-bumper warranty I was hoping for. And they have great pre-owned vehicles all over the lot. They go over each vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. It eases the buying experience. And the service department. We start with Quick Lane, and then, of course, there's inspections, routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. I realize in the opening half hour, Todd, I think it's safe to say you and I sat there and did realistic, but also a lot of like sunshine lighting up the world in that opening segment. We now go to the dark side of the moon, and we bring in Matt Cotrillo.
Hey, I just give you my honest opinion. That's all I try to do each and every week.
How do those kids in that house survive? All right, so... All right, come on. Hey, my understanding is like they're starting to say some of the words you scream at the TV.
Well, that's true.
Oh, Todd. Can imagine. Oh, boy, I tell you, at least has to do a job with those kids, I tell you. I mean, they turned out so wonderful because of Mom. All right.
Well, that I can agree with. That is very true. She holds down the fort when I'm in and out all the time.
Well, she has to straighten them out. All right. You can't say that. Daddy does. Oh, no. Says it during the Yankees game. Every at-bat Giancarlo Stanton makes. Right? Or as they would say, Giancarlo Denton. Not quite. You can't enunciate all of it yet, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's more like it.
So what's on the complaint list this week?
Well, actually, Steve, I want to start with college football and starting with all the whining and complaining that's going on now in Athens. And I tell you what, they're starting to get on Florida State level. Now, at least they have a couple national championships to back it up, but still, I think it's getting a little on the borderline ridiculous because Kirby Smart just went off this week on the CFP committee after the big win against Tennessee, which has been a big win. They have other good big wins this year. But there was a column, I think it was by Pat Ford of Sports Illustrated. I could be wrong about that. But his column was, do we need to look at quality or quantity wins? Which I get to a certain extent, but... Let's examine that, but I also would like to ask, can we also look at the losses, quality or quantity? And when you look at their two losses this year, obviously Alabama is one of them. They were down 28-0. They showed a lot of resiliency and nearly came back and won that game. So, you know, I guess that's a – I would put that under the, quote, quality loss, even though it's a loss to some degree because of the way they came back, though I still don't think Alabama is a great team this year. And then the second one is Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a good team, tough environment to play in. I get that. But if you think you're as good as you think you are, you don't lose that game by 18. So that, to me, is not a – would be a, quote, quality loss. And let's also face it this year. This is also why I hate the eye test, because I think the eye test is about as stupid as it gets, because all of this is subjective, and it's not really looking at exactly how things have played out with teams this year and how they look and things like that. Because they can look like one thing one week, but they can look like another thing the next week. So it's this is why you play the games. It just takes away from that the standpoint of you got to just play the games and see what happens. Because you can look good on paper against a certain opponent, but we don't know how it's going to play out. Should you maybe beat up on a certain opponent, or should this game be a close game, or this, that, and the other? Obviously, yeah, it says so on paper, but we've seen, especially this year in college football, we've seen stranger things happen. And I think this year is a perfect example of that. So, listen, I think Georgia is still a great team, deserving of being in the college football playoff conversation. But let's just, like, pump the brakes of ripping this whole thing apart. I mean, this is why we expanded the playoffs, for that reason. They are still in this thing with two losses. They can't afford a third, most likely. But this is the reason why we expanded it. This is the whole reason why. And maybe we could see it expanded to 16 teams in the future, like you and I have talked about before. But just, like, this is just getting borderline Florida State nauseating of just the way they've been treated unfairly and this and that. Alabama, okay, I'll hand you that loss, but you don't lose to Ole Miss by 18 points. I don't care if it's on the road or how good or bad they are. You don't lose that game by 18, and they've been a little bit inconsistent on the offensive end. They haven't started games that well, so there is that fact too. But again, it's a stupid conversation to have because you just don't know what's going to happen week in and week out. So, again, with this whole thing, there's fault on both sides here, but let's just pump the brakes a little bit about ripping this apart with the way Georgia's been, because I look at that Ole Miss loss, and that to me is not a good loss if you lose by 18. If you lose a close game, that's one thing, but losing by 18, that's another thing, and you've got two losses on you. And if you lose a third, whether it's sometime in the regular season, whether it's in the conference championship game, I'm sorry, you're probably going to be out. That's just the way it is. The college football playoff is expanded for a reason, and if you don't make it, then that's your own fault. End of story.
Well, I'll say this about Georgia. First of all, I think they're really good, especially on defense. Their defense and their defensive speed is superior. What people don't realize is Georgia has not been a team that has run the ball well this year. They are 15th out of 16 SEC teams in yards rushing per game, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. And Carson Beck has not been able to overcome that. And that's been a problem for them, but not defensively. I watched the Ole Miss-Georgia game. Ole Miss played really well. And when you're talking about losses, their losses have been to college football playoff contender Alabama on the road, college football playoff contender Ole Miss on the road, right? And then, of course, they won the game at Texas. So those are games where you sit back and go, okay, they did not lose a game, for example, like Notre Dame to Northern Illinois at home. Okay? Now, that's a loss where you sit back and go, whoa. Now, with Ole Miss and Georgia, to me, it would come into play that, say, everything plays out according to Hoyle. Then you start determining as to who is a 5, 6, 7, 8 seed, and Ole Miss's win over Georgia should put them ahead of Georgia in that ranking. That's where I think it comes into play. But in terms of leaving them in or out, you know, they're most definitely in a threat to win the whole thing because of their defense. And the only thing about the Kirby Smart thing that I always find comical is when he starts going through the idea that they're disrespected. What world do you live in?
Yeah, that's the other part too. You've been in the top for a while now. It's your own fault, your team's own fault that you're in the spot that you're in right now. Plain it simple.
Everybody knows they're outstanding. Nobody's disputed they're outstanding. Nobody.
And guess what? Alabama's had gone through the same thing, and they've won more national championships than them. They're in it right now, as a matter of fact.
You know, it's like you haven't had a coaching change. He's still there. You've won two. People completely respect you. You're a threat to win every game you play in. Right? It's like mercy.
Well, I think what they're angling for is
that's why I said it's getting on the Florida State level of nauseating complaints. But at least they have championships to back it up, unlike Florida State, who can barely win a football game.
Well, Florida State, okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I think this is an interesting topic here. Rob King and I were talking about this earlier today because Rob, I was on Rob's podcast, and he brought up Drew Aller. And I'm going to take a moment of your time here, Matt. And I said, the NFL in certain years has fallen into the trap of a guy having a really terrific year, and it's his 1 year as a starter, and they get enamored, like, wow. I said, as opposed to the guy that puts together a body of work. Now, I'm going to get to Florida State in a moment. And I said, look, you have Russell Wilson, my quarterback. Russell Wilson had a great career in Seattle. He was a third-round pick, but he threw 103 touchdown passes at NC State. He added 35 or whatever the number was at Wisconsin after that. I said he saw all speeds of defenses, combinations of defenses, things like that. You know, maybe not the NFL speed, but enough teams that have speed, where when he got to the NFL, the adjustment was not tremendous for him. And he said, you know, and Aller's now going into his 24th start. I said, it makes a big difference. Now I'm going to bring it back to Florida State. In the transfer portal, you really have a chance to evaluate quarterbacks, any position, but let's take quarterback at a comparable level. So let's take Dylan Gabriel. We saw what he did at UCF. We saw what he did 1 year at Oklahoma, including the rally in the Cotton Bowl against Texas in the Red River rivalry game a year ago. So Oregon had a really good idea on a comparable level what he was capable of doing. Right? Cam Ward ended up at Miami. From Washington State, same story. Florida State ends up going with DJ Uiagalelei. Well, we've watched his body of work at Clemson. We watched his body of work at Oregon State. Did you think he was going to be better for you? See, that's the part that I find baffling. Part of this is their evaluation process about who they have playing right now as to why they are, 1-9. They should win this weekend over Charleston Southern. But they decided, I guess they tried to get Cam Ward, but they decided that this was their best option to get. And he has 4 years of video. And there's nothing that's happened this year to tell you to change the narrative on the video. I mean, when you can evaluate that much of someone's body of work, you're not going to change them. That's why the NFL made so many mistakes with certain quarterbacks, because there wasn't a lot of body of work. I'm like, hey, we can do something with that. The more body of work you have to show the ups and downs, well, I think Brock Purdy's been decent enough for the 49ers. I got 4 years of tape. He saw it all at Iowa State. Okay? Yeah. So Jalen Hurts started at Alabama, started at Oklahoma. In the NFL, he's not a great quarterback, but he's good. He's a good NFL quarterback. He's not one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, but he's good. You know? So I didn't mean to digress and take away from your Sherman storming through Atlanta, rage of hate.
No, but it's a great point, because I think that also just shows you the arrogance that's around that Florida State program right now that's put them in the spot that they're in right now. And you said it. There's plenty of tape on what DJ Ungulele had done at Clemson, for instance, especially, who's also been in kind of this back-and-forth spat with Florida State trying to get out of the ACC. And he wasn't even that successful then either. I mean, look at some of the big games that he played in, especially against Notre Dame on the road. And this is because they think once he puts on a Seminoles uniform, things will just change because they're Florida State. That's not the case. They're not the way they used to be, pretty much since Jameis Winston left. They haven't had a quarterback since him. And I think they're all still living in the Jameis Winston days where things are just going to click like that. It's not the case. It's not reality. And maybe this will finally be the reality check that program needs, being 1-8, 1-9 right now after getting trounced by Notre Dame last week.
Well, I think that you notice there's been zero talk about them leaving the ACC all season. There's been no talk about it.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Because now they've been humbled, and it's about time. And I think you've seen the same with Clemson too. At least I haven't seen much talk about them from their standpoint either.
No, there hasn't been. Tyrese Maxey had to call out your guy Joel Embiid for being late.
Listen, the 76ers organization, I mean, they were getting to this point, and I probably have said this a few times, regardless after their numerous playoff disappointments, but this is officially rock bottom for this franchise, where this franchise is a complete and utter disgrace. There is no connectivity at all in the locker room right now. Nobody, because I truly believe nobody knows and nobody knew what the heck is going on. Because starting from the top all the way down, nobody's been truthful. I literally have lost complete trust in this organization, and I'm officially, like the Flyers, become apathetic to this organization because it's gotten that bad. And it's not just from the play alone, where it's been with the Flyers. This is an organizational standpoint. It's been just the way they've approached things ever since all this stupidity started with the process in 2013, 2012, whatever it was. And, again, where's it gotten? Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. And now this team is a complete mess, where they had to have a team meeting last night after they blew the 19-point lead to Miami. Those team meetings and that landscape, it just makes everybody dig in their heels deeper, puts more pressure on everybody. I think just makes the whole situation worse. And it really is a shame, because I really do believe Nick Nurse is a good coach, but he's got absolutely nothing to work with. His star players can't stay healthy. He's got an organization that manages these star players that don't know how to manage anybody, and then he's put in this middle of the road type of thing, where he's being asked all these questions by the media because fans and media want answers, but then he's here on the other hand that he can't say anything because that's the way the organization wants to be. They want to be secretive about all these things. So, I mean, this is just awful right now. That's the guy who I feel for the most is Nick Nurse, because this is a lot for him to put up with, and it shows. The team just literally has no connection at all right now, and obviously no chemistry, and I don't see that really happening at all this season, because this team just hasn't been able to, and I don't think it's ever going to stay together. I think they're literally going to be where they are this entire year. This is who they're going to be. It's not going to just click all of a sudden, even with a fully healthy Paul George, Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid. I officially think this team is completely broken, and there's going to need to be made some major, major changes this offseason. And maybe even during the season this year, it starts.
Josh Harris's team in hockey's in first place. His football team's in second place. And then there's this group.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, he obviously is successful with quality personnel other places.
Yeah, it's because he invested in 5,000 other different teams, but yet this team isn't there. I just don't understand it. Like I said, it starts from the top down. He's making it work with these other franchises. Why isn't it working with the Sixers? Perhaps if he's paid a little more attention to him?
Actually, I'll start with this. It starts with your star. When he was the MVP, and you know, you were MVP, 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 and I said, he's not good enough. He's not good enough, and he's not committed enough. I said that. You didn't like when I said that. Okay? What do you think now?
I think there's still fault on both sides here.
I think there are some issues with him.
But at the same time, I still don't think you can fully question his effort because he has played through injuries and things like that during the postseason. Now, it's not ideal. He needs to be healthier. But I think this franchise is also screwed up with how they've managed him in the past as well.
Let's start with, like I said, there's fault on both sides here with this.
I don't think there's any question about that.
I'm going to throw fault at where it should be. Okay? When you're making that kind of money, it is your job to be in shape. And when's the last time you thought Joel Embiid was in shape?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
And his injuries, I mean, I have ripped him before, especially with the way things went in the last postseason and the Knicks series.
I still think that the Sixers organization is at fault for the way they've handled him. But he definitely has to take responsibility for himself. There's no question about that. He was out the other night because of an illness? I mean, I hate that. Unless you're, like, on your deathbed, you better be out there and playing because you need to play right now.
Because he's not committed to anybody except himself right now. At least that's what he tells me, right? I mean, what's telling me, his injuries are in part because he's not in shape. Okay? Sometimes it's that simple. Which is all good,
but if the organization's also not putting him out there in the real games, you can't be in game shape unless you're out there playing in games. That's where I put some fault on the organization as well, because you can only do so much in practice and in your own off-season workouts or off-the-court workouts and things like that. He's got to play in the games, and this load management thing this plan that they have him on and everything else that they've been doing doesn't allow him to do that, so we can't get into the games either, and he can't get into game shape. So that's why I think there's fault on both sides here.
No, game shape starts with what you do in the offseason, okay? He certainly found a way to be committed to the Olympic team. All right, so there you go.
I don't even necessarily know about that because he didn't play that well in the Olympics.
I know, because he's not. Look, he's $163 million. He's getting the max contract. To do what? To produce what? Okay? I mean, you got to ask serious questions about your star. Your star is not a star. So, in my opinion, he's not.
Right now, he's definitely not because he's not out there.
And in the biggest games, becomes Aaron Judge. I'm not joking about that, okay?
But at least Aaron Judge is out there. But yes, I know where you're going with this because you're right. Absolutely right. They both have come up small.
What truly makes a star is that when the moment is there, they produce in the moment. They're not going to be perfect in the moment, but they're going to have enough moments when you need them in the biggest moment. They're going to have enough of them to make you sit back and go, wow, Hall of Famer. So, all right. Okay. Thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving, bud.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys as well. Always a pleasure.
In fact, I am going to do the shows on Monday and Tuesday down in Daytona, so we will talk next week.
I hung up on him before you said that.
Yeah, he'll figure it out.
I'll see him Saturday.
Are you sure? That would require on your part a desire.
True.
All right, Neil Kulwong next half hour, bringing sanity back to the broadcast.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.